Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I got so much pride in our guys showing up each and every day, working as hard as they can. Guys truly adopted what we talked about this year going into it. Yeah, love these guys.
That is Buffalo Bills quarterback Josh Allen in the postgame yesterday. Tough listen for Allen. Didn't speak for very long, I think under 5 minutes. You could tell in the moment, not surprising by any means, you could tell in the moment he was crushed by that loss. He himself statistically didn't have a bad game, really, by any means. 22 for 34, 237 yards, 2 touchdowns, 11 rushing attempts, 39 yards. But the tush-push was not going anywhere at all for the Bills. They got a few first downs from it, but it was constantly up in the air if they actually got it. None of it was convincing. Allen himself, the day started terrifyingly. His first two passing attempts of the game, both should have been picked. He settled down a little bit, and then to end the game, just not great. It's an all-time throw by him, but it's a prayer of a throw, really. It just happens to be in the right spot. Kincaid doesn't come down with it, but it was just the game never felt like it was becoming the Bills game. It constantly felt like they were chasing. We've talked a lot about that throughout this year of the Bills forcing teams to chase them. It felt like the Bills were chasing the Chiefs the whole night, even when they had the lead for a little while as well. There was a period there in the second half where they're up 22-21. If they score a touchdown, go up 8, and really start to lean on the Chiefs, just never materialized at all. And it's another frustrating end to a season where the only team that has not been the Chiefs that's eliminated the Bills in the playoffs is the Bengals. And that's it. They seemingly get through everyone else except the Chiefs. And I think, you know, this morning and where I'm at, and I'm not saying I'm over it, but I'm already on to looking at mock drafts and stuff like that. I looked up when Formula One winter training begins and stuff like that. And, you know, life goes on. But this was maybe the first time since I could argue, I'd say after 2020, it kind of just felt like, man, are you just ever going to be able to be better than that guy? With Mahomes, you know, but it was still so early in everyone's careers. You know, there was no reason to believe you couldn't. It just, at the time, it didn't feel great. You were blown out. You had a 9-0 lead, and after that, it was over. Yesterday, I can honestly say, felt like the first time for me, the Jordan comparisons made sense. Up to yesterday, it always felt like the Michael Jordan, Patrick Mahomes comparisons were people reaching. You know, Jordan is. A living god in sports for a lot of people. And you know, even watching the Last Dance stuff, and y'all kind of found out there was a little bit of a screw loose for him and how he was able to just formulate any kind of slight against him to build himself up. And then, of course, he himself was just maybe one of the most athletic, physically gifted basketball players of all time. So it felt so grandiose to have that comparison for Mahomes. Last night felt like the first time for me where it was like, oh, that might be legit. He might actually just be 90s Michael Jordan in the NFL, where everyone else is just going to be the Hakeems, the Ewings, the Karl Malones, the Charles Barkleys, where there's a ton of Hall of Fame talent all over the place. Y'all might end with no rings. And you just hope you got to a finals, a Super Bowl, once in your career. Burrow got there. And to be fair, the longer we go away from that Super Bowl, the more impressive it becomes. Not that he won it, he didn't. The fact that he got there, the fact that they did beat the Chiefs in Arrowhead in the playoffs. I know it's kind of a running joke now that we give them almost too much credit to it, but to be fair, it's becoming more and more impressive. But last night was maybe the first time that I felt like I just don't know how anyone's going to get past them. They elevate in the playoffs. Now, Kelsey's not going to play forever, and Reed probably won't coach forever. But right now, what they have with Spagnuolo and Reed and Mahomes and Kelsey still able to play at the level he is playing at, Chris Jones, and even now with George Karlaftis, what they've got going on there, it just feels like situationally there may not be a better team out there. Let's go to the locker room. Ty Johnson speaking with the media.
You know, you're one of four left. That's what, 200 and some players still playing. It's a good feeling. You know, you can't really put into words. You know, things need to be cleaned up. Some plays didn't go our way, and you wish they did, but that was just the result.
Ty, have you had a chance to process this loss? Is it still kind of a state of shock?
I got in at 3 a.m., so not really, and I'm here right now. So, again, good feeling. You know, kudos to the Chiefs and everything, but, you know, we just didn't play our best ball and some calls didn't go our way. And, so we're here. We're going to be watching. So that's it.
What do you think about your future here? I know you're a free agent, about coming back next year.
I don't know. We'll see. You know, if everything works out, you know, that'll be the case. But I don't know. Just let everything play out how it plays out. Get some rest. Let the next few weeks go by and see what happens.
Thanks, Ty. That was Ty Johnson, guys.
Ty Johnson there with the media. Some colorful language as well. And it's understandable. It's understandable. You're one of the final four. And it just, you're right there. And I think there is a sense of positivity of this was the year in transition, the whole thing. They still won 13 games. They ran away with the AFCs. They blew it apart. They got a great playoff win over Baltimore. You know, they did get further than years past. I don't want to look, you know, past some of the positivity because of one loss. But, man, it is a deflating feeling up to this point. 803-0550, the number two call. Before we get our next player with the media, let's take a few calls as well. Let's go to Tim here on the line. Tim, how are we doing this morning?
Oh, great. Thanks for taking my call. Listen, I just wanted to say that, as you had said, it was a great year. We kind of forgot. Like I told my sister and my wife, just let's enjoy the run. And we did. We had a lot of excitement, better than we thought. But on that thing, I look at and I was upset when they made that first-round draft choice back then. We've been looking, you've been talking about it, and Sal and most people, about the speed. Mm-hmm. And we gave away that, not because of Kansas City, like Sal talked, but we gave that away. And and we don't have speed. We don't have it. Why in midseason did we get, I forgot his name already, but the
Mark
guy.
Cooper? Yep.
Yeah, Mark. He didn't do too much. That. So, and that said, we do need that. We know it. And then I think they got to give up on Kyrie Elam. He's just it's a bust. It is what it is. But what's sad, the Bills were right there, even with the calls that maybe were questionable. What is sad, two things. Okay, we didn't do the last thing. But it was 3rd and 9, Kansas City. Minute 30 to go, whatever it was. We stopped them. We get the ball back with minute 10 to go. We still didn't stop them. So we could have got it back again. So that's what's kind of sad. Did they give up right then? That's basically what I'm saying. But I do somewhat – look, Brandon Bean has put a heck of a team together. He has. But I do think they blew it. I listened to a guy on another channel. He said, listen, what have they done? Kyrie Elam in 2024. 2023, we had Kincaid and Coleman this past year. They caught three passes between two of them. These are number one draft choices.
Yep.
So something is wrong on the top. I'm not listening to get rid of them. They got a great organization. Mm-hmm. But I think we could do better. So I'll hang up and listen to you. Thank you.
Tim, thanks for the call. And, it's tough. I give Brandon Bean a lot of credit because I think he gets a lot of great steals in the later rounds. You even look at guys like Dorian Williams, the third-round pick. And, I mean, we were having talks not that long ago before Milano really started to come into his own of playing Williams over him. He was playing incredibly, incredibly well. Terrell Bernard is a third-round pick, and you would argue he is one of the best middle linebackers in the league, but just not great up the top. Let's go now back to the locker room. Alec Anderson with the media.
Oh, I don't know, man. I wasn't out there, so I couldn't really tell you anything. I think you know, the guys gave their all, everybody gave their whole effort into the entire game, and, you know, it just fell short. It wasn't what it was, and so, yeah.
So a guy that wears your emotions on your sleeves a lot, have you processed this yet? Has it hit yet?
Yeah, it hit. It stings a lot, especially, you know, now that I'm playing. It just stings a little bit more. You know, last 2 years you're on practice squad, and then last year it's you're inactive, and it's like, darn, like, it hurts and it sucks. But, you know, I shed a few tears last night. I was really, really upset about it just because, you know, you want to go out there. And as a competitor, I hate losing. And to lose on that big of a stage is just like, ah, it sucks. But, you know, it's a good chance to kind of look at it and move on from now and just kind of go into the off season and relax and come back next year really into high gear and lick our wounds and move on.
Speaking of next year, this entire offensive line is back next year. I mean, what is that? How does that make you feel knowing that this whole group, you know, is basically coming back next year?
I think it's amazing. You know, I think that everybody has the chemistry here, and I think that we'll benefit from it even more. Everybody staying here together and, you know, having one whole year together and now going into a second whole year together. I think that the communication and the teamwork aspect is just going to be phenomenal.
Different feel for you going into this offseason than before, now that you have a role with the offense?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, more of a chance to kind of perfect my craft. You know, nothing will ever be perfect 100%, so it's always that, you know, goal for me to try and get there. And I think that this offseason it pushes me more, knowing that everybody else is coming back. It's, you know, going to be more competition, and I kind of am looking forward to it, and I think it'll be fun. And I'm really looking forward to, you know, this offseason and, you know, going into my technique and really diving deep into it.
How and where will you do that? What's your off-season plan?
I think I'm going to start out by going to Hawaii and then come back here and just kind of chill in Buffalo. I'll be around here majority of the time training with Siano and everybody.
Thanks, Alec.
Yep.
That was Alec Anderson there with the media. Hawaii, great vacation spot. Cannot recommend it enough. That's another thing. We were just talking with the caller there of the Bills draft history. Alec Anderson ultimately undrafted, but in 2022, they find him, and he's become an integral part in their offense, being that sixth offensive lineman in what they do in the run game. He's been an integral part to that. But looking real quick here at the early draft picks of the McBean era, McDermott and Brandon Bean. Josh Allen picked in 2018. We know that. Then you go to 2019, Ed Oliver and Cody Ford are your first and second round pick. Oliver, look, he's got moments where he's amazing. He's also got moments where he's completely disappearing on the field. Much of this year was that. He eventually got there, but it felt like 14 games. I don't know if that's the exact number, but it felt like it took forever for him to get going. Cody Ford, a complete bust, flat out. It seemed like they kind of botched his development as well. He probably should have been a guard from day one, and it didn't really ever seem like they knew what to do with him. To 2022 or to 2020, you ultimately don't have a first-round pick because it's Stephon Diggs. Your first pick in that draft is the second round. It's AJ Epenesa, who I think is kind of just a guy. He had essentially a redshirt year to get his body right for the NFL, and since then he's been okay. He's had splash plays, but nothing crazy. Zach Moss in the third round, you moved off of him pretty quickly. He's been an okay serviceable running back in the NFL. To 21, it's Rousseau and Basham. Spencer Brown taken in the third round. That's a hit of a pick, no doubt. Even Hamlin in the sixth round has been a hit of a pick as well. But Rousseau, I think, is better than Epenesa. But if you're looking at their total sack numbers, he has four more than him in their career. And again, kind of just like a guy. He has moments where he flashes. He has moments where he is completely disappearing on the field. And we go games, it seems, where they're not getting any pressure on quarterbacks, yesterday being a perfect example of that. And then Boogie Basham, they went back-to-back edge rushers. Basham was never a guy for this team, 4.5 sacks in his NFL career. Then to 22, Kyer Elam, probably the biggest miss so far of the McBean era. He, I believe, is unplayable. I said it last night, and I was there. Two pass interference calls pretty quickly into his stint, and he was targeted relentlessly throughout the game. But then James Cook in the second round there, he has been a hit. I think he's a better back than maybe a lot of people thought he was going to be. And then Bernard, I mentioned, he's your starting middle linebacker for the next 5-6 years. I think he's amazing. And then Khalil Shakir as well. I think we all know how I feel about him. He's your best receiver, but you need more on the outside. You need more boundary guys. And Christian Benford in the sixth round. But I don't know where that goes. He has two concussions in back-to-back weeks. That is frightening going forward. And he looked bad after that hit. He really looked in a bad spot. So I think he's a wonderful player. I don't really know where you go from there. And then 23, we all know Kincaid, Torrence, and Dorian Williams. I like Torrence. He's starting on your offensive line literally from day one. He's yet to miss a game. Dorian Williams, one of your outside linebackers, he's been great, especially filling in for Matt Milano. Kincaid, I'm completely disappointed by him. I'm tired of acting like he's great because little numbers love him. That's where I'm at. I don't care that he's in this whatever percentile of getting open. He's not catching passes. He's not a focal point of the offense, and he still isn't. And we saw it last night, and the caller brought it up. What was it for Kincaid and Coleman? It was like three catches for 29 yards between the two of them, and that was it. And then you get to 24. It's Coleman, Bishop, Carter, Ray Davis. Bishop, we all think, is maybe the safety of the future. Coleman never really became a factor in the offense. Injury may have played a factor into that, and it is still early. Ray Davis, though, seems to be a good find in the fourth round. Going to take a quick time out here, 803-0550, the number two call. We may be able to fit into a few more calls here before we get you over to One Bills Live at the top of the hour. Zach Jones, Josh Mitt, hanging with you here for just a few more minutes. This is WGR.